Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
السلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Dear viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO. You only live twice. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, in YOLO we've been on this beautiful journey through the creation of the soul and all the way to the events leading up to the Day of Judgment. Today, another very, very important, very intriguing and very interesting topic. Before we move to that though, let me introduce my two learned scholars. First of all, joining me is Shirazbay, welcome to the program.
Jazakallah.
How was your journey here?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. And with him, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we heard from him last week. Although he's been part of our team for a long time, we heard from him last week, MashaAllah, with some beautiful Madni pearls. It's Habibay. Habibay, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi
wa Barakatuh.
Welcome to the program.
Jazakallah khairah.
As we always do, we're going to start off with a beautiful benefit of reciting Durood e Pak. Now imagine this. It's the Day of Judgment. And people are drowning in their own sweat. It's a terrifying day, full of difficulties and terrors and accountability. And yet those who are near the pious servants of Allah Azza wa Jal will be in ease. Those who are perhaps near the prophets and the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal will be in more peace and tranquility. And can you imagine those who are next to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They will be in pure bliss. Listening to this hadith of Barakah, imagine that great day. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who recited Durood e Pak upon me in abundance in this world. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after and what you are after.
Life will become difficult. Challenges, disasters, tyranny, injustice will cover the earth. As we see at the moment, injustices are increasing, killings are on the rise, wars and calamities are starting to surround the world. In these dire times, where do we look towards for some relief? We look towards the hadith of Mubarakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the glad tidings of a righteous ruler who will fill the world with peace and justice. He is Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala. From the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the children of Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, his name will be Muhammad. He will unite the Muslims and then he would lead them into battle. Now we heard about the great Imam Mahdi in the last episode and the one before. We looked at his qualities, his traits and where he will be and how he will come to be known. He will lead an army, and that army will fight a huge army of the disbelievers. A third, upon seeing the huge army of the disbelievers, will run away. Two thirds will fight, a third will die, and the final third will survive and be victorious. And as they're celebrating the victory, they will hear an announcement. O Muslims, the Dajjal has come onto your lands. Al-Masih al-Dajjal, the liar and the deceiver. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, we've all heard about this Dajjal. Every prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal told his ummah about this Dajjal. Today we are going to learn more about him. Today we want to learn who he is, what he is, how he looks, what he will do. Let's turn to our learned scholars. I'm going to start with Shirazi. Shirazi, there is this Hadith Mubarakah that I've tried to set out in relation to Imam Mahdi, and then this announcement in relation to Dajjal. And then, you know, the Hazrat Imam Mahdi sending out 10 horsemen, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that, I know their names, I know the names of their fathers, I know the colors of their horses. These are the 10 that are sent out to investigate whether this is truly the Dajjal. What is this Dajjal?
So Dajjal is like all the hadith, if you gather them together. So the signs of his coming will be when droughts increase, when rain stops raining, when land becomes unfertile, when rivers disappear. So you can imagine these things are starting to take place now when air changes. So air quality will change. Now this person or this thing, he'll have hairy arms, but he'll have a very clean neck. He will be around 30 years old when he is first seen.
There are some descriptions or some misconceptions about it being a beast of some sort, but it will be a man.
It will be a normal, regular type person. Balki the some ahadith give you the impression that the way he is, his physique will become attractive to people. And this is one of his illusions, that people will end up becoming attractive to this person. Inshallah, we'll talk about that in time. Now, between his two eyes, and I said two eyes because one of them is loopy. Okay, so he'll have one eye and the other one is like loopy, and it's like just slightly hanging out of its eye socket. And he'll have within the forehead.
I think it's described as a floating grape.
Yeah, as a floating grape, yeah. It says, Kaf Fa Ra. And a mu'min, a believer, will be able to recognize this. And those, remember, at that time, Harun Bhai, we missed out one of the signs of Imam Mahdi arriving, was that he will come when Islam will only be in the Hijaz. And Hijaz was the original name for Makkah and Medina. If Islam will only exist in the boundaries of Hijaz, what does that tell you about the rest of the world?
Allah Akbar.
So this is like the small description of Dajjal. And he will come with a mission. And his mission, inshallah, we'll explain that when Isa alayhi salam's topic comes. That what his actual mission is and why he is going to come. What is the purpose?
I'm just going to ask you a question before I come to Habib, because I've got a few questions for him. But just looking at the background of it, what we discussed was Hazrat Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu coming and unifying the Muslims. You mentioned that Islam there will be injustice and tyranny all over the world, and that Islam will be restricted to the Hijaz, Makkah and Medina. Then Hazrat Imam Mahdi will fight the battles and unite the Muslims and, you know, refresh their imams, and then the Muslims will be victorious. And as soon as they're victorious in the battles, is the announcement made?
Yes.
Or the job. But the question I had just before you comment on that is that at this stage, we've heard of this era where there's a blissful era of Islam, where Islam rules the whole of the earth and it's back to the golden era of Islam. But this in between isn't that, is it? That's going to come later on, isn't it? When Hazrat Imam Mahdi completes the battle and the announcement is made, are we in that golden era of Islam, or are we before? Just timeline.
So basically, when Imam Mahdi has arrived, at this point in the dunya, in the timeline of the worldly life, there will be corruption everywhere, lies, there will be, you know, torture, killing, death. Imam Mahdi, if you read his biography, it's like he doesn't even rest. Soon as he is announced, thus say he starts his mission of putting justice in the land. One of the main things we mentioned, and this is one of the biggest signs, is the conquest of Constantinople, Turkey, basically Istanbul. And that will be conquered, it will be taken off Muslim hands. And then Imam Mahdi, one of the biggest things he will do, and this is one of the biggest signs, is Imam Mahdi with his army, they will reconquer Istanbul, basically that region, that area. And then after that, soon as they have conquered that land and there is peace and he's put justice into the law system around the entire world, soon as this has happened, they will hear that the announcement of Dajjal has arrived, that he is here, and straight away his corruption and his deception has started to pollute the minds of the people.
Dajjal, the root word itself, what does it mean?
It comes from the word Dajjala, which basically means to cover or conceal. And from that, the ulama ikram give the applied meaning of deceiving people, covering their minds.
Why is he called Dajjal though? I mean, what is he there to do? What is his main mission? That he's been given this name of Dajjal by, I assume, the best of creation, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yeah.
What is he there to do?
His main mission is to deceive the people, turn them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And he will come to a stage where he himself will then proclaim to be God as well. So that is his main mission, that people believe that he is God and leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Is it, there's something about him having a river of fire and a river of water and rain. What's all that about?
So basically, so he will have... Now, this person will be, if in our terms, a magician. Yeah. So it's not just, you know, he's a straightforward guy and he's causing... He will deceive people with illusions. He will cause he will say to people that this is my heaven and this is my hell. And he basically, in front of them, he will somehow delude them, cause some sort of illusion, which where a person can see that this is a heaven. And people, the Prophet ﷺ says that the one who takes and goes inside his heaven, he will end up in hell.
Allah.
And the one who ends up in his hell, goes inside his hell, i.e. accepts the, you know, the tribulation, he will actually be in heaven. Now the scholars have given different interpretations about this hadith, but our mainstream scholars have mentioned, our, you know, authentic aslaf, they have mentioned that when a hadith is mentioned, you should leave it upon its itlaq, i.e. you shouldn't restrict it by meaning, you should keep it as it is, the way the Prophet ﷺ has described that event to take place.
But there was some mention that he will make it rain.
Yeah.
I mean, so he will command and suddenly it will start to rain.
Even regarding the orbit of the sun and the moon as well, it's mentioned that he will command when the orbit will start, when it will end, and these kind of things he will do. And these were part of his trickery. And something else...
So is it an illusion, or will he actually be able to make it
even
rain?
Even Harumba, you know what, there's an invention, right? I think it's in Texas. And what they've done, they've made this machine, right?
It can make clouds.
It makes clouds, and the clouds make it rain. That's one possibility. Remember, the
there's actually a country that has mentioned that they're planning to make a second moon. Now, I don't know how they're going to do that, but they're planning to do something like this. So, technology is going to be quite advanced.
That's an interesting one, because, you know, one of the things that I was listening to and reading about was that the Dajjal will come into a system. You know, for somebody to accept illusions and be deceived easily is not that easy, if that makes sense. But because of the system that will be in place, people will readily believe. And that made me think, because aren't we in that system at the moment with social media?
Yes.
Because social media and general mainstream media, what you see is far from the truth. They report what they want to report. They give you one-sided image. I mean, we mentioned a few weeks ago on this very program that social media is that misleading, that you will know everything good about my life, but you won't know the reality of my life, and you'll think my life is blissful. when it isn't, you know, because of what I post on Facebook and Twitter.
So like you said, you know, they only show the good parts of their life, the negatives are hidden.
But that's a deception, isn't it?
That is a deception. And you know, for example, now if you look at the Ahadith, I think it's mentioned on three different occasions that the Dajjal will kill a person and bring him back to life.
There's one thing that I came across, which was that gold and silver will come out of the earth and follow him.
So yeah, so the treasures of the land, the national treasures,
mm-hmm.
Every sort, if it's oil, national treasures of a land like our country, whatever the treasures are of that country, the kings, the queens, the ministers, the presidents, they will follow him. That are the treasures of the land, that are the gold and silver of the land, they will accept him.
For the true Muslims, that iman is going to be tested to the extreme.
His deception, people will be mesmerized by his character. They will be so deceived by this person that forget his negatives. They will think, you know what, I just want to see him. I just want to know what he's all about. I just want to see, you know, how he does all these things.
But the true mu'min will see the word kafara,
the true believer. Now remember, the true believers will only be in Makkah and Medina.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
So if you put all these hadiths in mind, the ones that are out of Makkah and Medina, they fall into the opposite category.
The hadood of the haram, there is one narration which says that the Dajjal will go to the hadood of haram, Medina to Munawwara,
to the
side of Uhud.
That is a certain time that's going to come, like when Isa alayhi salam comes as well, where the two angels, Mikael and Jibreel alayhi salam, will basically be stood there. That is a later time, that will happen, and that event is one of the most significant events that you will study in the events of the Dajjal. Is one of the most craziest events that I have ever read.
How long will he be around for?
So he will be here for altogether. Now this is another very interesting scientific event that will take place. He will be here for 40 days. Now his first day would be like a year, and this will be a complete year. Like there will be 365 days in this one day. So the sun will stay above your head for half a year, and then it will, you know, sunset, you know, that period of time will be a few months, and then it will be night for another 4 months, for example. So like a normal day, but this normal day, the sun will take one entire year to go, to do its orbit, the sun of the earth.
I think it's Siberia or somewhere where the sun doesn't set for 6 to 8 months.
Greenland.
Greenland, where it goes basically on the horizon and bounces back up and comes all the way.
The droughts, the rain, and then no rainfall.
So there will, so the position of the sun and earth, they will change somehow. Something will happen scientifically. Scientists are seeing.
Well, we know
something.
It's possible because it's happening at the moment.
Yeah.
And there are places on the earth where there's 6 months or 8 months of darkness.
There could be something called a pole shift, where the poles move, and because at the poles, that's where the sun and the moon has the longer turns in its orbit.
Yeah, I mean, scientifically, we look for an excuse, and Allah entertains us by giving us an excuse.
For us, if the Prophet said it, it's going to happen.
Definitely. So the second day out of the 40 days, so the first one will be like a year, the second one will be an entire month. His reign, the sun will be above us for, let's say, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and then it'll be setting and, you know, rising that period of time for like 1.5 weeks. So that will be an entire month. And
so,
then,
so the first day is a year, the second day is a month. Okay.
And then the third day, now here there's two different hadiths. One says that the third day will be like a week. Okay. And then the rest of the remaining days of the month will be like normal days that we have. Regular days, basically. And the other hadith says that the third day will be like a Friday, a normal Friday. So there are two different ahadiths.
What I wanted to come to is, okay, we've heard about this Masih, the Dajjal, and you know what the things he will do and the illusions and the delusions he will create. But as a Muslim, as a mu'min, what can we do? Because every single prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal has warned their ummah of this Dajjal. Indeed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think was asked, okay, what if he comes in our time? And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy to the universe, said, don't worry, I'll protect you if he does, in the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now, if the system for the Dajjal is there, and we know all around us there is lying, cheating, delusion, fraud, everybody. I mean, you know, that the one of the signs of the Day of Judgment that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was, two people will talk and they'll say, in such and such a village, in such and such a place, there is a person who is truthful. And that's how bad, and we can see how that is happening now. I mean, everybody's out for themselves and defrauding and everything else. In this situation, as Muslims, how can we protect ourselves is the crucial question. We've got 5 minutes left, and I just wanted you both to give us some madni pearls. Because, I mean, okay, these are fascinating stories. These are fascinating accounts, some of which have come true. We know the others are going to come true because the most truthful of the entire creation of Allah has told us about them. But how do I now bring that into my life? I know, for example, that this Dajjal will come. I know Imam Mahdi will come. I know that the system is there. I know that there are fitna after fitna after fitna, deception after deception after deception all around me, and more to come. As a Muslim, what do I do for myself? How do I protect my family? How do I protect the Ummah?
So the Prophet is basically, he's told us the answer to this already. And sometimes, you know, we read something, we hear something, we learn something, but we don't actually acknowledge it. We don't understand it the way we're supposed to understand it. Prophet has said, whoever reads the first 10 or the last 10 verses of Surah Kahf on a Friday, or memorizes it or reads it completely, he will be saved from the fitna of Dajjal. So this hadith, okay, we hear about it. We see WhatsApp status where, you know, people put up Surah Kahf on a Friday. But how much do we actually contemplate about the meaning of this hadith?
Allah.
So, you know, Suratul Kahf itself tells us so many things. Just the opening story in Suratul Kahf was about migration. The very first story was about migration, where the seven people, they seen all the tyranny of that leader, Daqyanus, and rather than, you know, living in the luxuries of his castle, they protected their iman and they went out to hide. And on the way, they made the dua, Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma wa hayyi' lana min amrina rashada, that Ya Allah, guide us, give us mercy from your, you know, from yourself, and, you know, guide us what we should do in this situation. So put your full trust in Allah, and then Allah guided them and put them into a cave where, you know, it became a miracle that's mentioned in the Quran. Now, every single story inside Surah Kahf, like the heaven of Shaddad, now he built a heaven, he said, okay, I've heard about these stories about heaven, I want to make a heaven. The Dajjal will be giving people heavens. So now what happened to his heaven, it finished. This will remind us that we don't need the Dajjal's heaven, we need Allah's eternal heaven, everlasting one. So every single story, this is just a glimpse of it, every single story in Suratul Kahf, which starts off with migration and protecting your iman, all the way up to the end about the Ya'juj Ma'juj. Every single story in Suratul Kahf will protect us from the fitna of the Dajjal. We have to clench onto the surah.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but Surah Kahf Sharif is almost has the puzzles in
it,
have everything in relation to the Dajjal, and the signs and the signals and the ishare in there. I've just made an intention in my mind, and I'm going to share it with everybody simply so that inshallah, if somebody else makes the intention, I get the reward for it as well. I've made the intention that I'm going to start reading Surah Kahf Sharif from Siratul Jinan with the tafsir to understand it better. Probably should be a few weeks. You can download it free from dawatislami.net, because it's fascinating, because if it talks about that. And the other thing, when you were mentioning the people of the cave, migration, protection, it's all about closing yourself off, because the great people of the cave, what they had, they could have had a life of luxury. If they'd accepted the king.
And these guys were young guys, like teenagers.
They could have accepted that, they could have had a life of luxury. But they gave up everything that the king was offering them to protect their iman. And what did they do? They went into the cave and they cut themselves off from everything. So is there an ishara there that to protect your iman, you need to cut yourself off?
Prophet ﷺ said, al-bayt, al-bayt. That stay in your homes, stay in your homes. Right now, even our homes are not a safe place to be viewing the TV.
Exactly, I was going to say that. But you know, when you go into a cave though, if you went into a proper cave, you wouldn't have TV. You wouldn't have internet, right? So, although funnily enough, in some places there are people living in caves with internet, but the point is this. If you cut yourself off, then
from
you
the
will
system.
Be... From the system. How is that?
Inshallah, you know, the system, we'll cover that in the next segment. You know, the segment that we got next, the topic, that will cover all this system that we're on about. Inshallah.
You see, what I wanted to leave the viewers of Madhi Channel is, we're already run out of time, but is that how do I protect myself against the Jahilani system? And the simple answer in my mind is that if you are in your homes, if you've got films, dramas, internet, your children are watching it and everything else here, then you won't be able to protect yourself because you have let the virus in. The way to protect yourself is have a Madni environment in your house, have a Madni channel, make sure you watch, you know what your kids watch, and make sure that
they're protected. Limit what you're watching as well.
Limit what you're watching as well. I had one brother who I spoke to earlier today, and he was worried about his children and everything else, and he was saying, you know, I want to do this for them and that for them, and I want to provide a good school environment for them and everything else. I said, that's true, and I agree with that, but more than that, it's not what goes on at school, it's what goes on at home that more matters more. And I said, you know, and so we need to change our lifestyles so that we don't become the forerunners of the job. Because if we're away from deen, for example, the examples you gave, if a person doesn't read his salah, doesn't read the Quran, has no idea of, you know, the love of and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, doesn't have a Madni environment, lives, you know, bazahir is a mu'min, but you know the traits of a true Muslim, then there is a grave danger, isn't there, that he will be in the system of the Dajjal or the followers of the Dajjal when he comes along. Is that not a danger?
He's already put into the, he's like accepting the trap.
He's accepting the trap.
Of him. He just needs to walk in.
And the only ones that will be protected is those, as you said, you know, who are taking a steadfast on the Quran and on the Sunnah and on Salah, and they are protected.
You know, these kind of things like social media and these problems that are happening, for us, we might think, you know, it's a bit, life has become easier. Well, these are actually, in fact, if you look at it at a bigger scale, these are tribulations as well. You know, our children are moving away from the deen, social media, people are not giving time to each other, they're giving time to the mobile phones. You know, children, they're not playing out, they're on their mobile phones playing games. So they're entrapping the children or families, even though there might be two family members across each other, they'll be both on the phone. So these things, they are, in fact, in the bigger picture, tribulations. The tribulations are all making the system for the Dajjal, all in preparation for the Dajjal.
So you won't come into Nirmal. Fascinating subject, and we're going to have to continue it from there next week. It's already 3 minutes past 10, but I'm going to leave you, the viewers of Madni Channel, with nothing but something that is truly amazing, and that is the glorious Quran. And I'm going to come back to what you said. It's ayah, verse number 10 from Surah Kahf. A mention when the youths retreated to the cave and said, "Our Lord, grant us from yourself mercy and prepare for us from our affairs right guidance." Allahu Akbar. If you want to learn more about that ayah mubarakah, go to Tafsir Sirat al-Jinan, which you can download free from dawatislami.net. And then Mufti Sahib has written a commentary and an explanation for each of these verses. Amazing verses. Try and read Surah Kahf Sharif on Fridays to gain protection from the Dajjal, and try and learn about this. A truly remarkable journey today. I learned so much today. JazakAllah to both of you. It's a fascinating one, and it's a shame, but we're going to have to move on and move to our next segment, the social issue. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here, and what you are after, and what you are after.
The topic that we've chosen today on the social issue front is loans and debt. And what I wanted to kind of briefly discuss was that, you know, in the times gone past, say if you could afford a big house, you had a good job, or you know, you had some inheritance and you could afford things that I couldn't, I just accept that. I can't afford it, you know. And so that was the way. We're living in an era where debt, taking on debt, and those who are paying interest on debt, is accepted as part of life. And you've got youngsters who are buying flash cars and, you know, thousands of pounds, and buying all sorts of investments, and nobody's scared of debt. And your average youngster is drowning in debt. Your average household is drowning in debt. When you speak to people, they say, well, you know, I've got this big house, there's four people living in it, but I have to take X amount of loans to furnish this house, and they've got all the furniture that, you know, palaces have. They have decor that the palaces have, and they've spent all. And there's this debt culture where everybody seems to be not bothered that, you know, debt is a wrong thing. I mean, let's start from the beginning. Is taking on debt wrong in Islam?
It's one of the, I think, 18 in Madinah Madkat. That did you refrain from taking loans and debts? Did you refrain from borrowing people's shawls and other things? You know, we have a thing called qana'at. Qana'at is sufficing yourself upon, you know, what you only need. So if a person only needs, for example, four wheels, a steering wheel, a small 1.2 liter engine to get him to work and back, to, you know, get his shopping, to get his, you know, drop his children off to school, then he should only stick to the 1.2 litre engine.
But Shiraz bhai, Chaudhary sahab, Nikki ji gaddi te nahi le sakte. You know, you can't have somebody of Chaudhary
sahab
status going to work in a Datsun Sunny. Come on.
Harun bhai, one of my mates, right? You know, when the new model of the C220 come out, he's bought it fresh, 2016, right? And a few months later, he's seen him in a 1 litre Micra, like broken, bumpers hanging off, lights are damaged. Like, what are you in? He's like, what can I tell you? I go, what's up? He goes, whenever I'm in that murk, everyone's looking at me and saying this about me, saying that about me, and they're hating me. They have jealousy. And now I'm in this, I feel scorned because they're laughing at me. He didn't want people to, you know, have that pain inside the heart that he's got a murk and I haven't. This is the type of mentality he had. So he went about Micra, and he used to drive that around local when he had to go, you know, far distance or whatever purpose he needed the car for. He used to take that on, you know, his purpose where no one would see him, to be honest. So this is the mentality he had. So if you could suffice yourself on a 1.2, use the 1.2. Don't go out, you know, out of your league in, you know, a 4.2, for example, and then the rest of your life you're basically taking morsels out of your children's mouth just to pay for
we've gone beyond, beyond that, because now what we've done is, you know, in the olden days, this is this concept, ke chadar de ke paon phailai. Now I'm going to try and translate that into English, but look at the, you know, your
capacity.
Capacity, and then stretch your feet out. And now you've got husband working 12-hour shifts, you've got the wife working a 12-hour shift, and the kids are coming home from school and eating cornflakes with milk because there's nobody to do it, and they're then getting themselves ready for mosque and going to mosque, and it baffles you. And you think, how are they doing it? And the problem is that they wanted, rather than live in a normal house, you know, £100,000 house, they wanted the 300 mansion, And now they wanted, rather than a normal car, they wanted, because next doors, you know, the Johnsons have got it kind of thing, they wanted that. So now to afford that, they're having to work, and the very standard of life they were trying to raise has gone down the drain. And their standard of life's become, again, it goes back to the topic we had before.
Exactly.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Mm. They will show, this is our car. And nobody will see the 18 hours that they're putting in to maintain that car, or this is our house, look how beautiful lifestyle we've got, but we're both working blogging around the clock, and it's all a deception, isn't it?
Haruma, it's even before marriage and the kids. Like, there was a case where a person, he spent £25,000 of money, and he got a debt, and he took that loan out, and he spent it just for his wedding. And invited all the guests, they went to some special some island or something, and did the wedding there. And Harumbai, after not even 1 week, not 2 days, on the wedding night, the talaq occurred, divorce.
Oh,
and wow. Now that person, he's still, even though he's not living with his wife, he's separated, he's divorced.
Still paying the debts.
He's still paying the debts off.
Yeah, I was in a breakfast place on Leeds Road, right? And there was a newspaper. Front page is a picture of Leeds Road from the top to the bottom, full of sports cars. Well, they don't call sports cars; they call hypercars.
Mm-hmm.
From the top,
supercars.
Yeah, he's paid for every one of the guests for a sports car, and he's took a loan out. I don't know how many, is well in the 100,000. I don't know how the bank gave it him, and the wedding lasted for 6 months, and that was in the Asian newspaper. So baffled for the rest of his life, he's having to pay that off.
Help me with this though. Do you know in the olden days as we grew up, I mean, call me backwards, call me old fashioned, yeah. You know, our bazaar, one thing we saw was that they used to tremble at the word of a loan.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, karza leke karna, no way.
It's like be a shame on the family.
It's a shame on the family. It was like, this is a taboo, this is, you know, forget it, we don't need it. You know, ek roti pe guzara kar lenge, we don't need it, yeah. And, you know, people used to come around and say, you know, invest in this and invest in that. And you say, karza leke karna, no, the risks and then the sood and the interest and no. And these days, people are buying. I
remember in the past, there was no interest on it. In the past, in our even in this country, there was no interest on the loan you take. It was interest free, and still they were ashamed.
And still they were ashamed to do it. Yeah.
Now that you're paying back double, you're paying back, you know, a stupid amount.
I met somebody, and I was either in his house or we were sat somewhere else, and we were talking about it. And he said, I buy things from a certain departmental store. I won't mention the name, and he said, my furniture, or, you know, the iron and the kettle and everything else. And he goes, I just get it on a credit. I've got their store credit card, and I just buy it on their store credit card. So I've got a lot of things, whatever I need, my kids need, I just go out and get it. And he says, one of the advantages is the insurance, so if it goes wrong, they'll come and replace it. But it's all on credit. Now, I was sat there thinking, you can afford to buy a £15 kettle or a £10 kettle. You can afford to buy a toaster. But yet, we've gone down this road so far that even the things we can afford, we're still buying on debt. I mean,
becomes
is that
habit.
Not a wish for Sada Shita?
Definitely.
I think, you know, when I said that we're going to cover in the next topic, this system we're living in right now, Harumbai, is really getting us in debt with the system. So we are under the system living in the times that we are living in, where, like you mentioned, you're working 12 hours, husband, wife, children, everything's, you know, all you're doing your entire life is paying off this debt. And this debt increases every time it goes down. You want to think of something else. We're under some sort of system. And the more facilities that are given to us of, you know, money loaning, whether it's with or without interest, the more advantage we take of it. But we don't realize, you know, we started right the very first episode. And one of the definitions of insan in the ayat, innahu kana zaluman jahula. Indeed, the insan, he oppresses himself and he is irrational. I.e., he you know, accepts something straight away, he doesn't think of the consequences. We said, you know, at that time that we will accept free will, but we didn't think of the consequences. And the exact same thing we are doing here, we're taking out the loan, we're accepting the loan, but we don't understand the consequences. You're paying back interest. Sometimes you're not able, sometimes you're going to wake up bailiffs at your house. And this is, you know, in the culture we live in, society we live in, this is something that is come, I mean, I don't want to go too detail into it, but it's something that is accepted now. Like you mentioned as well, that, you know, taking loan is accepted. But Islamically, we should try our best. Interest is a different topic. Even a general loan, try our best to, you know, avoid it. Try to suffice upon, you know, minimalism, basically. Suffice upon how much, you know, we actually need. And in that is barakat. In sufficing upon minimal is barakat. Harumba, you know, we have this, I was thinking about this a few years ago. So, you know, like the iPhone, for example. Back then you could get like the 16 gigabyte, you could get the 32 gigabyte, then you could get the 64, I think the 124, the 22, Patani. So you get different ranges. And now what would happen in the youngsters, right? They will have an iPhone, another person will have the iPhone. And they're asking each other, well, how much memory is yours? He's one saying it's 32, the other one saying 64. The other person turns around saying, I've got 124 gigabyte. So they're competing with each other. This society has taught us how to compete with each other. And that's what social media is doing as well. One person's advertising his car, the other one's advertising his house. Everyone's competing with each other. A person doesn't have the money to actually put something on his social media application, so he'll go and quickly take out a loan, even if it's to hire something. Some people will just quickly hire something, hire a dress, hire shoes. The people do all sorts now. Harumba, people take holidays on finance. People take so many unusual clothes on finance now. You could buy a pair of socks on finance. I'm being serious. There's different. So you could buy nearly everything on finance. Facilities there, and then is more of a headache, because now all you have to do is just place your finger on it and it goes through. You don't see the money coming into your account, you don't see it going.
It's just numbers.
Yeah, it's just like, alright, it's gone, £2, it's gone, £3, it's gone. And all you're doing is putting your finger on it, it accepts it, you hear the ting noise, that's all you hear from your money. You work full week, full month, you get your wage, and all you hear is a ting at the end of it. When you're paying the, you know, the contactless, you hear the TTT, that's all you're hearing. And this society, this is where stress, anxiety, or depression, all this comes in, because we don't understand, you know, taxi drivers. One of the beautiful things about their job, out of many different ones, is that, you know, their money, they see it come in, you know, virtually. They see it because they're given change, they're given cash, they see the money, and they, you know, for something that you see, you hold more value to. Like, for example, if I was to give sadaqah, I don't see the exchange, I don't see virtually what I get back. So this is why people don't give it, because, you know, they don't see the actual transaction. Whereas if you was to give £5 and you know you're getting some. So the taxi driver, his money is given to him in hand. He respects his money more than the person who gets a large sum, but it goes straight to his account. He doesn't see the money, and then he doesn't see it go out as well, so he doesn't feel anything. Whereas if it's come in your hand, you've held it, you put it in your pocket, you've kept it close to yourself.
I suppose, yeah, it's lost that, you know, when people used to save in the old days, just have little safes hidden away in the houses, and all that's gone now. So it's become that. But how do we, what do we do? How do we change our thinking? 2 or 3 minutes left, but how do we change our thinking to get out of debt? I mean, we're encouraged to be in debt from an early age.
Right now, you've seen people, especially these clever brain boxes. What are they doing now? There's this new type of, you could say, fashion, or this new type of trend where people prefer cheaper things now. So before we had the very expensive supermarket, now we've got this cheaper type. It's the same product though. Before we had the very expensive phones, and now we got the cheaper type. Same thing though, it's got the same camera, it's got the same features. Before we had the very, very expensive cars, and now we've got the cheaper version of it. Before there were very expensive homes, now there's a cheap. Everything, you know, because of the market, everything is becoming cheaper. Things are becoming cheaper, and that's the thing we need to nurture to. We need to adjust ourselves into buying cheaper things, but obviously with the quality. And these things are available, it's just us that need to go forward and purchase that thing.
Point of advice that I will give is only get the loan when it's a dire need, and that too, definitely try your best to find the ones which don't take any interest or any usury in it. And if there is a case of taking a loan and things, and follow what the Quran says, where we would write down the transaction and have it in written, because a lot of cases that have been where the written that I took this amount of money from a person, but it was never proven. Why? Because it was never written down, it was nothing official. So make sure that you do also write things down as well, and that is the hukum of the Quran.
And how can you have barakat and blessing if you disobey Allah and His beloved Habib by taking loans on interest and then pretending to do business or anything else? Where's the barakat going to come from?
Allah says that He increases sadaqat and He decreases interest. So virtually we see, it has a few different meanings, but virtually we see that the sadaqah is come out of our pocket and gone into the donation box, but we don't understand the way we will be given it back. Allah says, I will increase the sadaqah, this is His promise, and He says, I will decrease the interest. So even though you might be making more money out of interest, if you're the loan giver, you might be making more money out of the interest, Allah is saying that I will decrease the interest. So the point is, the loan, keep it limited, and just live the life that will make you happy. Putting yourself into a situation where you're just eating toast in the morning, not your normal breakfast, where you're eating peanuts for break time. This type of lifestyle, just to show people, is going to damage you in the long run. So the stress, anxiety, all the other side effects you get from it.
And the cholesterol and everything else that comes
your
with
entire
it.
Your entire life.
Final word of the hadith. People that eat takeaway, they complain of being on the poverty line, but they
could
eat takeaway five nights a week.
You could get down finances. You could get a meal on finance.
The system has developed. But it's our mentality, isn't it? My question to both of you is, how do I stop myself? Is it hopes and desires?
The thing that we mentioned,
I'm not controlling my desires, aren't I? What I'm thinking is, if I want this, I haven't got the means to get it, but yes, I have, because I can take a loan. And then I'm paying off forever these loans for the rest of my life. Some people will die in debt.
Yeah.
That's the reality, isn't it? You will die in debt. But for what though? Did you get into debt for the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did you get into debt to help the needy? Did you get into debt to help your brother? Did you get into debt in serving your parents? No, you got into debt because you had a 2016 model and you wanted a 2018 model. You had a 5-bedroom house and you wanted a 10-bedroom house. That's why we get into debt, isn't it? How do I stop myself? How do I change the mentality of living within? How do I live within my means?
You need to, first of all, build within yourself self-confidence and the ability that, yes, I can live myself in such a way that I don't have to get myself into debt. And as well as this, also make a kind of a overview, a review of all your expenses and all your income that you've got, and calculate how much I should be spending, how much I should be saving, and have this in written form so you can go back to it as well every single month, every single year to see where you can. And wherever you can take cuts, for example, you can decrease taking a takeaway, or not buying crisps or chocolates every time you go shop. Try to make them cuts as well. There was a millionaire who actually, he used to pick up pennies from the floor. And he said that, although I'm a millionaire, but every single penny counts. So we are probably not millionaires. We should try our best to make cuts and work in a economical way.
And if you have the right intention, I suppose, you do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, live within your means and contemplate and be thankful, you'll be rewarded for that.
Definitely.
If I give up my extravagant lifestyle and say, it's like that when you're eating a morsel of food, if you give up one morsel of food for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, you get the blessings and barakats of that. So I suppose the same applies.
One thing, Islam doesn't discourage, spending money. You can do that. However much money you've got, you can, according to that state, you can spend it.
If you've got it, I think there's a hadith in Mubarak where Allah Azza wa Jal, this Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you, make sure you show it, and it can be seen upon you. I'm going to finish this topic on this hadith in Mubarak, and I think it really sums up what we wanted to highlight today in this culture. Narrated by Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say a prayer. And that prayer was that, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from sin and heavy debt. Muslim Sharif and Bukhari Sharif, both of them list this hadith mubarakah. Someone said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how often you seek refuge from heavy debt? And Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, when a man gets into debt, he speaks and tells lies. He makes a promise and breaks it. Allahu Akbar. So it's a slippery slope. It's not just the debt, it's the dangers that it produces. And it makes your life a misery. If we live within our means, how blissful would life be?
And we could being say, content with what Allah has declared for you.
Subhanallah.
You know, just that itself is a solution to, you know, why, a solution to our depression and everything else that comes. Just being content with what Allah has given you.
Allah says, "Kul jahan milk, jo ki roti shikam ki karam."
You know, there was once somebody said, "Who's the richest man in the world?" And somebody reeled off the name of some wealthy billionaire, and he said, "No." Because if he's a wealthy billionaire, but he's still looking for the next million, he's not rich. He said, the richest person in the world is the one who is content with what Allah has blessed him.
Definitely.
He is the richest person. We are the richest people in the world because Allah has truly blessed us. Rather than look at these dreams and aspirations in this very temporal world, we're going to a dark and lonely grave. The real visions and dreams we should have in this world is Medina Park, and in the grave, a beautiful garden, and in the hereafter, the Puros of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the neighborhood of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fascinating topic. If you are in debt, make a schedule, make a table, try and cut your outgoings, try and manage your finances. A true Muslim, a true mu'min, you know, isn't one who just says, I put my trust in Allah and lets money go left, right and center and waste it and spends it extravagantly. The real sign of a true believer is that he controls it, spends it where he needs to, but saves it where he doesn't. And let's try and do that and stay away from these loans and debts, especially when there's interest involved because they are haram. May Allah bless us to be content with what he has provided us. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here, and what you are after, and what you are after.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to keep the Madani recharge quite short, and I'm going to try and relate it back to our topic. Our topic was kind of worldly desires and everything else. A man comes to Ala Hazrat and he says that there is a riyasat, there is an area province called Nanpara, and the sheikh of that area would be very pleased if you wrote something, because Allah used to write. So he said he'd be very pleased if you write something in his, according, you know, a poem about him, so that he becomes pleased and something nice about him. So Allah Hazrat, and he said, look, he'll give us some donations and we'll use those donations in the way of Allah, we'll do the work of deen with it. So Allah Hazrat wrote to Wakamali Husne Hazur hai, and a beautiful Natiya Kalam. And at the end of it, Allah Hazrat wrote, and it's something which I'm going to relate back to the last topic we discussed, because our desires take over our life, and we look to debts, we look to other people for all our solutions. And Allah Hazrat taught us some dignity, some pride, because as a mu'min, you shouldn't be putting your hand in front of other people, you shouldn't be begging, you shouldn't be asking, and that's essentially what loans and debts are, aren't they? So this man comes and he says, write something for this person, this governor. And Allah Hazrat says, no, I'm not. And Allah Hazrat writes this beautiful Nati Paak here, Wa Kamali Husne Hazur hai. And at the end, he writes a couplet which is truly amazing. Ki karun madhai ahle duval raza. Why should I waste my time singing the praises of the people of the world? Karun madhai ahle duval raza. May Allah keep me away from this, you know, all the curses be upon this, I don't want to go near this. Main gada hoon apne kareem ka. I am the servant and the at the court of my master Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my deen, mera deen paaraye naan hai. My deen isn't a piece of bread that I can just hand out to people. And Allah was not only in that was saying naan paaraye was the riyasat and naan, mera deen paaraye naan hai, but also he was teaching us dignity. In the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, you are an ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why should we be holding our hands out to companies and say, "Give me loans for this thing"? We should be living with our means in accordance with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If nothing else, at least the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam should make us live without our means. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us all the blessings and barakats and increase the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. Time's up. We've had a truly amazing and fascinating insight into the arrival of this, I won't call him the beast, because this Dajjal, this deceiver, this illusioner, this Antichrist. And next week, I'm already looking forward to where we go next. Don't forget to join us on Madani Channel. Inshallah, we'll continue from here. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter.